Hello?
Hello, is this Jackson?
It is Jackson and Sarah. Is this Andrew WK?
Yes, it is. How are you two?
We're fantastic. Better now that we're talking to you.
Absolutely.
I'm better, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking the time out to chat with us, man. So you got a new record out, and you got a show coming up at Union Transfer with a full band on May 21st.
That's right. It's our return to Philadelphia, and we intend to party harder than ever before.
May 21st is a Monday, and Mondays kind of get a bad rep, right? It's the beginning of the week, and everyone's still a bit tired from the weekend. But surely you, Andrew, have some reasons that partying on a Monday can't be as bad or as difficult as it seems.
Absolutely. In fact, it's a beautiful opportunity. We're going to invert our entire approach to the weekend mindset and say, if we can finish the week with a bang, we can start the week with a bang. We're starting the party on Monday, and it's going to last all week. So basically, why wait? Why keep yourself at bay? Unleash the party gods and kick off the week with an explosion of party joy.
I love it. I absolutely see, this is why I'm such a big fan of Andrew WK, because he can turn any situation into a positive, and that's kind of what you feel at these live shows. Andrew, I've seen you a bunch of times over the years, but the band that you're playing with right now has got to be, I'm going to say, the best iteration that I've ever seen you play with. It's high energy, it's good vibes, and everyone is rocking out, so I can't wait to see you again. And I just heard that you actually found your current drummer on YouTube. Is that true?
Yeah, well, that is. I'm amazed that you are aware of that, Sarah. This new drummer is a gift from the party gods, a party godsend. His name is Clark Kegley. And years ago, I just stumbled across a video of him playing drums to our song, We Want Fun. He shot it himself, and it just made a really strong impression on me. I mean, he was playing great. He looked awesome. He had incredible energy. But there was something more intense, a deeper impact that the video had that I couldn't quite figure out. And I think what it was is sometimes your life is giving you a preview of what's to come. And in that moment when I saw that video, I should have already known that someday he was destined to be the drummer of this band. And now he is, and we couldn't be happier.
You know, you were just talking about a preview of things to come, and I've been waiting to have this conversation with you since I read this article. I think it was Rolling Stone, where you talked about the song, I think it was Total Freedom, and how it came to you in a nightmare. And I thought this was the most fascinating thing I'd ever read. Can you tell that story briefly for our audience?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, like anybody, I have dreams and nightmares, and some of those are very vivid, very lucid. And I had a particularly intense anxiety nightmare during the final days of recording this new album that just came out recently. But it was a long and rather torturous recording process, as is often the case with making anything. And I was deep in the throes of that torment and had this anxiety nightmare where I heard in the nightmare this amazing song. And the reason it was a nightmare is because I hadn't made it, and I was very envious of this super group. It was imaginary group on the radio that I was hearing in the background of this dream. And the dream was also very upsetting because the dream began with me having committed some awful, unforgivable trespass on morality. I don't know what it was, but like my whole life was over.
Right.
And then just to crown it off, I heard this song on the radio, and I thought, well, that's awesome that how come someone else gets to make a song like that? And then I remembered it enough to wake up and record it. So, you know, it's strange. I don't know what to say about it. It's just sometimes things like that happen.
Well, I wonder if, like, one day you're going to have a dream and the band you stole that song from is going to come after you pissed off.
No!
Yeah, it's possible. You know, there could be a whole other reality going on in my dreams. I could, you know, have a whole different line of work. I've had nightmares about that, too, where I woke up back into my real life, and I couldn't tell which one was the real one.
Wow.
Oh, boy. That song Total Freedom is on the new album, You're Not Alone. It came out a couple months ago. And between Andrew's party anthems are these spoken word portions. But these kind of came about last minute. Is that right?
Yeah. There's three very short motivational speeches on the album. I don't think they're much longer than a minute, if that. And that was the idea of a wonderful woman I have the privilege of working with in my management team, named Karen Glauber. And she had seen my work, as a motivational speaker and as a writer. And she thought, why not combine those efforts into this album in some way? And I never would have thought to do that. And to be honest, I was quite nervous about that. It was so exposed. You know, I'd never done a recording of a motivational speech before. And the music that I strive to make is quite dense and really loud, and there's a lot going on in the sound. But when it's just your voice talking, it's very naked. But I tried to summon up the party energy, the party spirit, and communicate it through words. It can be delivered through music. It can be delivered having a conversation like we are right now, as long as people get it.
You mentioned party energy, and one of the things that I love about your philosophy on life is that you acknowledge that life is challenging, very challenging sometimes, but that's part of the quote-unquote party. Like, being happy and upbeat, it doesn't always come easily, but if you can work through the challenges, the reward can be really great. And that's not the easiest ideology to live by. So at what point did you decide, this is how I'm going to live my life, by embracing challenge and calling it a party instead of trying to dismiss it or run from it?
It's been an ongoing, lifelong challenge for me. I mean, I guess I started referring to that approach as the party mindset about 20 years ago or so, but I've always been quite a negative person who was easily distraught by challenges and irritations and frustrations and everything else. So I was always looking for a way to snap out of it, or to feel better, or to rise above those feelings. And, you know, eventually, like many people, you realize that fighting with that feeling is not the answer. Somehow learning to make friends with that side of life, as I say on the album, is more rewarding. Otherwise, you're canceling out so much of life. So much of life is challenging. And if we just remove it or numb ourselves to it or try to pretend it's not happening, then we're sort of, you know, chopping out this huge chunk of our experiences as if we don't want to live them, too. We have to live life at all times as best we can. And it's not easy, like you said, but it's a very simple concept. And I think if we team up together and feel like we're approaching these problems as a team of true believers, and we make it fun or celebrate it, even as irrational as that sounds, it's our best hope at not only surviving, but thriving.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the yin and the yang, the light and the day, or, you know, the night and the day. You can't have good times without bad times. You can't have light without dark.
Very well said.
Right. You're not going to have all these great things in life without challenges. They go hand in hand, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. They really do. And again, to understand that on a mental level is pretty straightforward. But there's so much physical struggle and actual pain that comes with it that it's very easy to deny those parts of life and to struggle with them. But like you first said, Sarah, just accepting that life is challenging by its very nature seems to flip the perspective. It gives a new orientation on the whole dilemma, and it makes it, you know, you come to terms with it. You just face the fact that life isn't easy, but that doesn't mean life is bad.
Exactly. And that's why people call Andrew W.K. rock and roll's self-help guru, because he brings this positive energy, and you're definitely going to feel that at the show on May 21st. And Jackson, you know what Andrew's got that we're probably going to see at this show?
What's that?
A pizza guitar.
Yes.
And a taco guitar. Yes.
Yeah.
Are we going to see those at the show, Andrew? Please tell me yes.
Well, I have both of them right with me at this moment on the tour bus, and I've been using both of them during these shows, usually one or the other. And sometimes I'll get on a taco kick, and I'll play the taco guitar for several shows in a row, and then I'll start craving that unique and appetizing pizza phenomenon and bring out the pizza guitar. So we'll have to wait and see if in Philly it's a taco day or a pizza day.
It depends on
actually
what the party brings, right?
Well, here in Philadelphia, exactly. We have something called a Philly taco. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's when you take a slice of Lorenzo's pizza and then you wrap it, because it's so huge at this place called Lorenzo's, and you wrap it around a cheesesteak, and it becomes its own taco. So we'll have to introduce you to this concept.
Yeah. It really is
the
greatest thing you will ever experience in your life.
Those are two of my favorite, three of my favorite things, tacos, cheesesteaks, and pizza. I've had Lorenzo's. I've had every Philly cheesesteak that I was able to find, and there's a lot of them. And the idea of combining those together and the concept of a taco delivery system to get that flavor down my throat, that sounds amazing.
I dig the artwork on the new record. What's this guy's name, Sarah?
It's by a team, Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell.
Right. Now, one of these guys is the guy, I recognize this immediately, is the guy that did the old Molly Hatchet artwork.
Boris, yes. He did artwork for album art, I should say, for Molly Hatchet and Ozzy Osbourne. So, Andrew, that must have been a dream come true to work with them.
Awesome stuff.
Well, yes. It should be noted, Frank Frazetta may have done some of the artwork that you're referring to, or Corbin. It's a grand tradition, and Boris Vallejo is one of the reigning masters, as is his wife, who you mentioned, who also painted this picture with him together, Julie Bell. So they are the king and queen currently of fantasy art and are in, you know, good company with the peers that have also painted, you know, all kinds of amazing paintings, movie posters, just great calendar images. I mean, just paintings that exist. Of course, book covers, album covers, and their paintings communicate a lot of energy and a lot of triumphant power. But there's a unique twist to it that I can never quite place. You know, paintings are great because sometimes they can look even more real somehow than even real life.
Yeah.
And I think that's how Boris and Julie's paintings looks, including the cover that they painted for my new album.
Yeah.
Do you dabble in visual art at all?
I've always enjoyed visual art. You know, that's what I love about show business is that you get to involve all those different disciplines. Even if you're into fashion or clothing, there's a way to apply that to the stage, to a music video, to an album cover. Every craft that I was ever interested in is applicable in entertainment, and it's very satisfying in that way. So yeah, you know, painting, drawing, I painted the taco guitar, I painted my pizza guitar too. If I can find a use for the painting or the drawing or the artwork or the design, it's more fulfilling for me. That's why I love music and entertainment, because you're not just hanging the painting on a wall in someone's house or something. You're putting it out there into the world in an active way.
Very cool. I do have a question that I think you might be able to help me out with. I wanted to ask you this question when you were doing your speaking tour a couple of years ago during the Q&A portion, but there wasn't enough time. If I may pose this question to you now.
Oh, of course. Okay. I'll do my best.
So
I don't know what's coming, man. I'm sorry.
No. It's not that deep. I love aggressive music, and I love extreme metal. And Jackson knows, like, the sludgiest, most disgusting, loud, fast stuff that you could possibly dig up. And people sometimes, if they don't know me that well, but they find out this thing about me, they'll assume that I'm maybe an unpleasant person or someone who's harboring a lot of anger. And I'm not. I really like aggressive music. And I know you do too, Andrew, really loud and heavy stuff. So what is a good way to explain to people that might not be fans of that genre that heavy music can be positive, even when it's like screaming and dissonant and maybe even frightening?
Well, I fully relate to what you're talking about. And from my experience in Syria, I'm guessing you also have experienced this. The people who are into not only heavy music or intense music, but intense things in general, intense culture, intense movies, intense books, people that are willing to go into the depths and the extremes of what's possible and what can be explored with the human imagination. Those people, to me, that I've met are usually the more gentle, calm, friendly, happy-go-lucky, and I dare even say well-adjusted. Now, I'm not necessarily including myself in that category, but someone who you might assume, like you're experiencing, is a very nasty person, it seems like it's exactly the opposite. And what I've noticed in general is it kind of goes back to what we were first talking about, Jackson, like the yin and the yang. Those folks in the world that have the courage to explore the full dynamic range of emotion, from really sad to really happy to really angry to really peaceful, that are able to appreciate the whole thing. They enjoy feeling those things. They enjoy sad songs. They enjoy really euphoric songs. They enjoy really, you know, frightening, horrific songs, because they know that all those emotions count. They all have something to offer. And it can be scary, and I think it does take a kind of bravery to allow yourself to be that full human being. And music and the arts and movies and culture and stories, this is what gives us a safe place, a safe area to explore those feelings where it's encouraged. You know, this is it better to feel that anger through a song and get it out in a visceral way than feel that anger towards someone you care about and hurt them. You know, This is the way we get to explore those feelings in a really low impact kind of way. It's like exercising our soul.
I like that.
That's awesome. What I was thinking of the whole time you were saying that is all I kept seeing was like Tipper Gore in front of
yeah.
You know, just in front of Congress talking about the evils of rock music. And I was just like, you should have been there. You should have gave that exact comment.
People were very well represented, of course, at that famous hearing by John Denver and Frank Zappa and D. Snyder. And they were speaking on behalf of so many other true believers in that type of creative freedom. But beyond that, you know, I'm sure that those people meant well. They think that, you know, we all have so much energy, and you can use that energy to try to block out parts of life, you know, and shield others from them. Or you can use that energy to try to make yourself strong enough to take on all of life, to confront life, to experience all of life. And, you know, I want to be one of those people. I'm not there yet, but we're all trying to make each other stronger so we can take on whatever life throws at us.
Well said. We're speaking with Andrew W.K. Jackson. You know what May 9th is?
May 9th.
Is Andrew W.K.'s birthday.
I bet he's going to party.
Yes. Do you have any party plans, Andrew?
Yes. We're playing a concert in Indianapolis, Indiana, on my birthday. I think I've played a show or done some sort of event every birthday for at least the last 4 or 5 years. I've been looking forward to this one very much because it's 39, and that's been a lucky number for me for a long time.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Well, most of our audience knows this because we talked about it quite a few times, but Andrew W.K. Performed the ceremony at Sarah and Jake's wedding.
That's right.
There were three kinds of people at that wedding. There were the people that went, holy shit, that's Andrew W.K. There were the people that go, yo, who's that guy pretending to be Andrew W.K.? And then there were the older folks who were like, he could have at least worn a suit.
But even they got it.
They got it
by
yeah.
the end of it. And yeah. thank you again, Andrew. I'm happy
so
to report
awesome.
That a few months later, I am still married, and yes. we still talk about that day. We were so excited to have you. So thank you again for all of your party wisdom on our wedding day.
Oh, it was an absolute privilege, and it was a beautiful ceremony and an incredible location, amazing atmosphere, very kind people, and I felt very honored that I could be part of the most special of all days. And I'm glad you're still married. That means it works.
Yeah. I also want to point out real quick that I actually kept that a secret. Jackson here is one of my closest friends because we work so closely together, and I did not tell him that you were going to be there. So his jaw was on the floor when you walked out. Thank you for bringing me that satisfaction.
Yeah, if you want to hear a funny story, she actually was watching one of your videos on her computer screen just outside of the studio here, and this was before she got married, and she was just rocking out to this video, and she looks at me and she goes, what if I got Andrew W.K. to come to my wedding? And I laughed at her and said, you are never going to get Andrew W.K. to come to your wedding. So she never said a word to me. She just kept saying, oh, we have this motivational speaker that's going to be performing it, but I think you'll dig it. And I'm like, oh, cool. Sounds great. And then when you walked out, I was like, get out.
Again, thank you for bringing me that satisfaction, Andrew.
Well, that is awesome to hear, and thanks for, you know, thinking of me. It's a real sacred spot to hold, and I take it seriously, and I find it moving as well, which I think I may have mentioned during the ceremony. You know, I'm married, and being in that atmosphere and seeing other people that have been married for a long time marrying you, it's encouraging and inspiring in a very deep way. So as good as it is for you, it's good for me, too.
Awesome. And we're going to hear all the positivity, feel all the love at Union Transfer on Monday, May 21st. Get your tickets. All the details are on the concert calendar at WMMR.com. Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us on WMMR today.
You're not alone. The name of the new record. Get it. Listen to it.
Thank you both. Thank you, Jackson. Thank you, Sarah. Keep partying.
All right, brother. Thanks so much. Have a
great
day.
See you at the show.